Greetings, this is James Gilman with Edge Witch Talk Radio, also simulcasting on East City Stargate on YouTube or on Rumble, Telegram, Odyssey, take your pick if you want to see them. We're broadcasting live on Rumble and East City. We've got the links right up there if you want to hit them on East City Stargate. So every once in a while they decide our content does not fit their community standards, which are pretty damn low. Oh, some weird things popping up right now. Our AI is after us. But anyway, that being said, if we are on the East City Stargate channel or just go to one of the other channels and catch the show. We've got a great show. We've got Elena Danan back again due to popular demand. And she is the author of A Gift from the Stars, Alien Races. And she has a new book coming up, We Will Never Let You Down. And hope so. We sure need their help right now. But anyway, without any further ado, I want to welcome Elena to the show. Elena, are you with us?
Yes, James, I'm here with you all and very glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, much better connection this time. I was going to tell the audience, we did a great show. The information was just incredible and everything, but we got hacked so bad on every level, and there was so much interference. This show we had to redo the whole show. And so this is our second attempt to bring it out. And maybe, Lani, you can talk a little bit about what happened on your end.
Yes, both James and myself are very well protected by benevolent forces. But in between, it's the wide, wild universe and world, and the Greys were at us. They didn't want me to share the information for James, and they tried everything they could to cut the internet connection, and the video was stopped so many times, and at the end they couldn't do better than just cut the power supply of the town where I live, and the whole town went pitch black. That cut my internet. So it was a real nightmare. Yeah. But here we go today. We are very resilient, and we didn't come to give up.
Yeah. I know. I always say that, you know, a lot of people, they come on and they get all these problems happen. I said it comes with the territory. You know, if you're over the target, you get the flak. And so if they're not censoring you or not coming after you, basically you're just kind of mediocre. I hate to say it, but you're not a threat. So they're not going to bother with you. But obviously this information is very empowering. It's very powerful. And you know, it's information that's we really need to know right now because we're in the thick of everything. So I wanted to first start out, just give a little bit of background for people who haven't seen the show about you wear so many hats. You're an archaeologist. You're an author, archaeologist. And what else do you do? I mean, you have like 10 different hats.
Yes. I am an artist.
Artist, yeah.
Artist, singer also. I am a druidess. I am a shaman. I think that's enough.
Yeah. I know, but I've had people that say, they go, well, tell me about yourself, and then I'll talk about something else, and then we go on with the show, and they said, you know, you never told us about yourself, and I said, that's the least thing I like to do, you know, but it's kind of interesting, but the, I know we're a lot alike in that area, but the, you had some contacts at a very early age, some abductions and intervention with Thorhan, and I know you've told that story quite a few times, so we'll make you tell it again. you have the implant. Can you talk a little bit about how you have direct communication? It's not channeling; it's direct communication with Thorhan.
Yes, and groups. I could do. I'm able to do channeling because it's in one of my psychic abilities. But I'm not doing it, and I do not recommend to anyone to do channeling now at the moment, unless you are You know what you're doing and you're very connected with your personal guides or family. Anyway, so what I do is it's like radio transmitter. I have this implant somewhere, it's in my head, that had been put when I was abducted at 9 years old by malevolent greys, the Zeta greys. And I was rescued in the process of this abduction by Thorhan and his crew. They are part of the Galactic Federation. They recalibrated this implant to their frequencies, the frequencies of the Galactic Federation, which are very, very high, much higher and non-hackable. And so, because they're very high frequency. So that since that time, I was monitored with them. They could monitor me. But then when I was grown up and in age of understanding certain things, they activate the communicator function of this implant. And I was 18 years old, and they just switched it on. And I heard a click, a buzz, and like an ex electric discharge, and in my head. And I heard Thorhan's voice, n not mentioning, of course, that I have met Thorhan and his crew on the ship. They took me a few times in between. When I was a child and a teenager, to show me things and the ship and etc. So I was used to him. And since that time, well, I can communicate with him by the implant, like a radio transmitter, like walkie-talkies, you know. He showed me recently how to activate it, how to switch it on. So it's very interesting.
Nice. Yeah, I had an implant come out of the back of my ear, and it was really weird. And it popped out, and I pulled it out, and I looked at it. And it was a crystal pill. It looked like a little pill, but it was crystal. And so I put it in a little baggie, and I was going to have it analyzed. And I went to get it, and all there was like moisture there. It dematerialized, and just you could tell where it was, and it just went poof, and was gone. So I have no idea who that was. I didn't feel bad about it, but my body just threw it off. It just threw it out, but which was kind of interesting. But the it's interesting how we're talking about the different stories. That a lot of information is out now. We probably have to do a little recap on that, on the what happened with the God, I don't know where to start. We've got the Antarctica program going on. Maybe we can cover that, and then we can go into what's happening on the moon and Mars and some of the other things in the galaxy, and who's doing it too. Is at the talk a little bit about the Federation of Worlds or Planets or those groups, and who's who and who's doing what.
Okay, great. So in the 1950s has been started programs of cooperation between the Galactic Federation of Worlds and starting by the US Navy, and they started the cooperation program, and Solar Warden was born out of it. And when a military force came really to really exist and was ready. It's a military force composed of the people from personnel from the Galactic Federation, humanoid aliens, and Earth militaries. There is the US Navy in America, but there are now other countries involved. So this is the Earth Alliance. They call it the Earth Alliance. And the Earth Alliance is an army that has been created to help us fight the Orion group, the Nebu, the Greys, and the reptilians, because we couldn't do it on our own. So the Earth Alliance is working well. These are the guys and the girls who go in the undergrounds and in the dumps and fight, and that's them. Very difficult job. The Earth Alliance has recently done something amazing. They have cleared Antarctica from the dark fleet. So, Antarctica, to liberate Antarctica from the dark fleet, I think everyone knows the dark fleet, but quickly it's the German breakaway Nazi group civilization who settle in Antarctica, allying with reptilians, and that's the Nachtwaffen, the Dark Fleet. Okay, they're not friend of humanity. So they've been kicked out from Antarctica, these people. That started by the Earth Alliance has started to blow up all the tunnels of access to Antarctica all around. That was going on since last 2 years. They were working on that. And they isolate, that's how they do, they isolate pockets and then they intervene in it. That's how they do. Mm-hmm. Antarctica was, they couldn't receive enforcement. They were cornered. And so they fled. All the high rank officers and the reptilians, they fled by ships and by a portal. There was a portal in South Pole. But then all the human personnel of the Dark Fleet, there was plenty of people, like hundreds of people, families, and you know, they weren't allowed on the ships. There wasn't any enough ships, so they went by land, and they went all to the only harbor available that could take them, McMurdo Station. And they left by boat to Argentina. I knew the intel from Thorhan about the liberation of Antarctica, but I have a friend working in McMurdo. His name is Frank. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me, oh, that's weird. Well, the month before, he was saying there's a lot of enforcement militaries coming, American militaries. They don't talk to anyone and they all rush to the South Pole. It's weird. There's an operation going on. And that day he said to me, oh, that's something new. Now, there are plenty of German people. We don't know where they come from. They come from the South Pole, probably, it seems like. And they're living, they're coming through McMurdo. And so he confirmed there was an exodus of German people. Plenty, they didn't know where they were coming from, you know. And taking boats to where? Argentina, the other Nazi stronghold. So that was really it. And I say, well, you know what? Yes, everything matches. So that was for Antarctica. The portal has been taken by the Earth Alliance. So in the South Pole, they have deactivated it. So that's good. Mm-hmm. That's for Antarctica.
And then you've got the moon. Can we talk a little bit about what's been going on with the moon?
Yes, so some operations on the moon. That was in January and February 2021. The moon was a stronghold of the Dark Fleet, of the ICC, Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerate, was there, had base there too. But there was also plenty of grays, the Orion grays, and they had a lot of structures there. And they had also a very, very old machine that was broadcasting low frequencies on the Earth and maintaining kind of a matrix, you know, around the Earth.
Yeah.
And so that needed to go. So the Earth Alliance and the Galactic Federation enforcement to the Earth Alliance, more enforcement, they just hit it. They did just liberate the moon. It was very, very hard because the Greys were fighting. And the Dark Fleet was fighting, but the Greys were more powerful and the fights have been going on and the Greys wouldn't leave the place. They wouldn't leave the place and they finally did. And it was a horrendous fights and combats in space. It was absolutely incredible. And so...
Which Grey group were they fighting with?
Oh, yeah. Keely Tokert and Mitra.
Uh-huh.
They are allied with the Orion group because they're not from Orion, but they work with them. In the same time, they have their own agenda. But they cooperate with the Orion group. They are part of the alliance of the six gray civilizations. That was them. So then the machine has been dismantled. The machine that was trapping Earth in the low frequency, that has been dismantled. Yeah.
So we've got that cleared out. It's funny because all this stuff totally dovetails with the information we've been getting, because I was telling people, no, the moon's been cleared out. And they go, no, they have these machines. They're doing that. I go, no, that's been cleared out. And everybody got really angry at me when I told them that. And I said, that's what our guys are telling us, that it's been cleared out. And those were some of the feline beings that were telling us that. That they said, that's been cleared out. And I was wondering, which kind of goes into, I want to go into Mars, but I wanted to, this, the Alliance, the Federation of Worlds or whatever else, some of the beings, do they have the feline beings? And because when I went up on one of the ships, I saw all kinds of beings, but I saw these beautiful feline beings that looked very humanoid. And one just ran up to me and gave me this big hug, like long lost family. And I just melted. And I didn't have a chance to realize she wasn't totally human, you know, that she was very, you know, had a feline face and everything. But have you seen those groups? Are they on the ships as well?
Yes, yes, yes. I've seen some, of course. They are on the ships as well. The feline beings, you have so many different races. They all originate from the Lyra zone, but yeah. They have had so many colonies, spread so many colonies on so many different worlds, and they have some have bred with the local beings, and they have slightly different features. They all look feline, but yeah. It's all different names and people.
Some are more human, and the six-dimensional yes. ones, like panther beings, they're very tall panther-like beings, and then they have the lion beings that they used to call Narsringa, or Narissa was the lion beings in ancient India, and they were the protectors of the gods, and the ones that walked along the ancient Larians that were here during Egyptian times. But it's funny how all that is coming into play now, because the benevolent ones are all returning, and they've got karma, you know, they've got karma because they pulled some of their people fell and screwed things up here. And so it, the ones that continued to ascend or evolve are now returning to clean up their mess as well. So there's so much going on. There's so many different groups here at play, you know, that are working on this mass liberation or cleanup process. I want to jump to the moon, to Mars, basically. So how's Mars doing?
Mars is doing well. Mars has been also liberated, but it's been quite a long operation as well. The Federation has done on Mars what they have done on Earth. That's the way of doing. Mm-hmm. It is to empower the local populations by creating an alliance. So as we have had the Earth Alliance, there has been the Mars Alliance as well. So what is the Mars Alliance? It is local Martians, the real Martians, who have been trained and groomed and empowered and given weapons by the Federation to build their strength and the resistance, the rebellion. So there are two species that lead the Martian resistance. It's a reptilian, humanoid reptilian species, which has nothing to do with the Sicars. It's different people. I don't know where they come from. They look more human. They don't have this like long, you know, like the Sicar long thing. No, they look more human, but they have a skin like lizards. They're very tough. They're not that tall, but very tough. And then you have the insectoids. So the insectoids, same as well, they're not native from Mars, but they are there since such a long time that they are considered as real Martians. These insectoids, you have different species. You have races within this species, different variants. These have been... So they have been trained by the Federation, and they have start all the operations start at the same time. The Martian resistance attacked by the undergrounds, because most of the facilities on Mars are underground. It's like an iceberg, you know. And at the same time, the Galactic Federation was attacking the fleets from space. Also, they were broadcasting, the Federation was broadcasting high frequencies on Mars to take away the stamina of the reptilians there, to just disempower them a little bit, that they would feel less aggressive. And they hated that. It was great.
That. They're doing that on Earth as well.
Yes.
I heard being telling me that they're working more with frequency consciousness, and they're doing the math, you know, that they hate it. They hate the higher frequencies, or that especially the low frequency. And I found out some negative reptilians can't stand divine feminine. It really, they hate it. Something. It's almost like mama's home, you know, you're in trouble now or something. I don't know, but they cannot stand that divine feminine frequency. And I know the Earth's had a huge flux of divine feminine energy to bring balance back. And they were telling me they were doing it. They were actually using, probably from their ships, I would imagine, that they were raising the entire frequency of the Earth. And what's happening is that they just can't stay any longer. It's they're not frequency specific to the Earth and her evolution, and it's not just the ships doing it. It's also the source itself. It's coming from galactic center through the central sun, and all the other suns are activating. The Schumann resonance, everything, all that is leading to their extradition, you might say, or getting them off the planet.
Yes. And around the Earth, the Federation has had put in place for a long time now, a grid, for high frequency grid. So that was a good thing to work as well this way. So on Mars, the thing, what's happening now, all the reptilians have gone. You had everyone on Mars, everyone, but it was mainly Dark Fleet, the reptilians, a big part of ICC, the ICC. There was a Mars Defense Force, but the Mars Defense Force were people from Earth who were just paid to do a job. And these ones have been really, all the humans have been spared. They really tried, the Federation really tried to save everyone. Of course, there are casualties in wars, but it was not too much. You know, they tried to save the most people as possible, because if these operations are that difficult and take that long, because people say, yeah, but the Federation, they could end this war in 1 hour and nuke all the reptiles and stuff. And yeah, they could actually, they have the technology for that. But the casualties, have you thought about that? Everybody would die on Earth and everywhere. They don't want, the purpose is not to kill everyone, you know? It's just to save. So these operations are so difficult. That's why it takes so long, because they have to rescue people first. All the facilities, be it underground Earth or it was on the moon and on Mars, they have hostages. They have slaves. Yeah. They have, you know. So you need to take these people safe, to secure them first before attacking. And that's the problem. So because these greys and these reptilians, they don't care. They rather kill all hostages, you know, and come and get us. And reptilians do that a lot. So they're very reactive, you know, they're a bit like the Klingons, you know.
Yeah, major the human shield. So we got Mars cleared up, and I wanted to go into, like, I think Ceres, there's a couple other places where things are going on. Other asteroids and things like that, and then I want to get to the meetings on Jupiter, so we can talk a little bit more about what's happening there.
Okay, yes. The two main satellites of Mars, Phobos and Deimos, have been cleared as well. Phobos was a facility from the Zeta Reticuli, small grays. It was a They were bringing abductees and doing experiments. It was like kind of a lab. And Deimos was held by the Mitra. It was a like a slave market, you know, kind of slave dispatching place. And so
Yeah,
that's gone. Ceres in the asteroid belt. So Ceres, it was something very delicate. The Federation took time to know what they were going to do with Ceres, because Ceres has a local population. It's very populated by humans, by benevolent species of greys as well. And they are all under a military tyranny from the Dark Fleet, the Nachtwaffen. And the Nebu as well, the Orion, but more the Nachtwaffen. So the game on Ceres was to save these people, because they are really they're considered as inhabitant of Ceres now, because they're here for so long. They need to liberate them from the Dark Fleet tyranny. So that happened. They couldn't, the Federation couldn't empower and train the civilians there, because Ceres is so small, and it was impossible to do that. So they just attacked, and in the operation, they saved people. There was an evacuation and come back. I don't know exactly the details, but Ceres has been given back to its people. They are safe now there, and they are going to have their own government now. They are a bit lost, because they've always depended on the Dark Fleet for trading, for resources, you know, because there's nothing on Ceres. So then they will now be able to trade with other planet worlds, the Federation, for instance, Earth. So a new dawn for these people. It's great.
Now, the meteors on Jupiter, there's can you kind of describe what's happening on Jupiter, as far as, is it, you're saying that it's like a floating city there, or a massive ship, or I guess it's like a floating city, and it's a main headquarters for all the diplomacy that's going on. So if you could talk a little bit about that and what's happening, what's coming out of there, there's any latest updates on what they've decided to do here or there or wherever.
Yes, on Jupiter, there is a big, it's huge facility. It's a floating city, yes, but it's a ship. This could take off and go in space and leave, you know. It's a ship, but it's so big, it's like a floating city. It is in the upper layers of atmosphere of Jupiter. It has been built by people from Sirius B, the Ashtar people from the Ashtar Galactic Command, who are a benevolent mercenary institution. They've been asked by the Federation, by the Galactic Federation, to come and help as a military enforcement. So they did that, and they built this humongous, huge facility on Jupiter. And this is the best, the safest place in this star system. It is so well guarded. It's safe, the level of security there. It's mental. It's incredible. When you approach, your mind is monitored. You can't, everything you think, you feel, they know. And the level of security is up, and they scan you. It's incredible. So that's the best place to have diplomatic meetings. So in this big, huge city, there's a sector which is allotted to the Federation for diplomatic meetings. Mm-hmm. And in this place happened recently in July. It was a series of, there were 12 first 12 meetings auditing delegations from Earth, 14 delegations grouped in 12 meetings. That's what I know. And these each delegation had officers leading space programs and corporation CEOs of corporations working with this space program. So that per country. So after these 12 meetings, the audition, they were audited by officials from the Galactic Federation, the Council of Five, and the Andromedan Council. Council of Five is the Orion Council. Same, different name. And after these 12, six nations were chosen that would be the best able to secure the star system, to create and secure safety zones, and work for the greater good of humanity, of world humanity. So these, and from these six, they selected one to lead them all, to manage them all. Don't like lead, to manage them all and organize, centralize. It was the US. So it's there's I've been told about horizontal coalition between these six nations to create a space fleet. And now, that this happened because the victory is near. It is exactly when the after world just before World War II, the Allies gathered for the Yalta agreements. How are we going to organize the after war world, not to let chaos come in rushing? And it's the same thing now. The victory is near. So now it's about the future of the star system. How is it going to be managed now? We need to leave a star system in peace and well organized, not chaos, so that was what it was about.
Yeah, we're in the middle of that right now. It looks like I wanted to talk a little bit about, we should talked earlier when we had all the interference. It was crazy. But I was
No.
sharing that story about Orion when I was 5 years old, where Aog, which is a six dimensional being, and you verified that he's with the Orion Council of Light. They're very focused on planetary liberation, and they've gone through a lot of the wars and things like that. But when he brought me before a council, and I saw all these beings on this council, and it was really strange. I know a lot of people have had similar experiences, and they've talked to me about brought before councils and a plan. There was a plan, but they don't know what the plan was. And I kind of had a, and I know I'm doing it now. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing now. But it'd been nice to give us, a book or something, or a manual or something that told us, what the plan was. And but anyway, that there are so many people right now that have incarnated from these advanced civilizations, fifth, sixth, seventh. We're getting a lot of sixth dimensional Palladians coming in now in counseling. That it's blown me away how many have incarnated for these times. And I know there's an old prophet, I can't remember his name, but he said, creator's given its best for this time, and for the shift that's going on, which I think everybody's waiting for this big alien invasion. It already happened. It was called reincarnation. And so many people reincarnated for this time to help in this huge planetary ascension or lifting. But right now it seems we're in this major activation, and these people are in every walk of life. I mean, they're in the political system, they're in the military system, they're in the everyday business system. All these people are being activated now, and they're kind of in between worlds. They're going, "Oh, that world didn't work. I can't do this anymore, but I don't know what to do next." Maybe you can give any ideas or suggestions on. And I just said, "Well, just wait for the new world to come in, and then help build it. Help." Get aligned with that, live according to universal law and don't stray from that, and help usher in this new world or this big reunion with the greater family of man.
Yes, we came here to liberate the people of Earth, and the best way to liberate, help them liberate themselves, is to teach them how to reaccess their own power first, and then raise their vibration. A great guy named Val Thor told me, "We cannot liberate a slave who holds on to his chains. And that means you need to do your part of the work. So we are here to teach them how to reconnect to their own power, that everything, the key is within, to reconnect with who they are, to refuse fear, to refuse to be manipulated and discover who they are and connect with themselves. And because once the humans of Earth do that, they are invincible. They are extremely powerful. Humans are so powerful. And they just need to remember that.
So, yeah, we have the genes. I'm trying to think how to say this without getting cut, but you know, we have the genes of the gods, basically. We have, you know, when they say man or woman were created in the same image and likeness of God, well, that's genetic. And in our genes are written Yahweh in the code, the gene code. It's actually written Yahweh, which is really interesting. But, you know, we have those genes. A lot of them are, they say, is junk DNA or whatever. It's not junk. It's just not active. And it's being activated as we speak. But the... I've seen over and over again, that's why they've been abducting people and doing a lot of these other things, because they want those genes. They want those genes. But the other side of it too is that the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse is right here. It's in us. It's that spark waiting to get ignited. And so we both have the DNA of the gods, and we have that spark waiting to get ignited. You put those two together, one's going to kick the other one on either way. And that's what they're in the middle of. And so that's, I see now the war we're going through right now is a war on ascension. It's a war in consciousness. It's a war on ascension. And we won't mention the, you know, but that is there to change your DNA, and it's there to cut you off, you know, from your God connection, ultimately.
Yeah, and from your power.
A different system. And so that's what people need to realize. The end game is, you know, the off switch and the control switch on all humanity. And, but that's going to implode on itself too. But that, we need to know that's what that game is, you know, and not indulge in it. But I don't want to go to say any more about that, because we're
yes, yes. Channel.
But the going back to, I know we're hitting, we're coming close. No, we've got some time left. So, because we, but we've got, there's so many directions we can go with this. I think it's real important to talk maybe around people finding ways to release the wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experience that is holding down their frequency. And it's all about frequency, raising your frequency. And okay, so we got plans. Yeah, so maybe you can talk a little bit about that, about, you know, different ways that people can raise their frequency. And
that is very interesting, important. I mean, the only way we can go forward is to raise our frequency, is to get out of this enslavement. So the best way is to, there are many different steps. The first step is to cut ourselves from the polluting field of low frequency that is broadcast by the evil side. This field consists in fear to bind us, to make us stupid, to make us lose our common sense, and fear to tell us, you're going to die if you don't do this, as we tell you. And you start to freak out, you lose your common sense, you don't think anymore, and just do what you're told. That is just like, step one, I tell everyone, step one, switch off the TV. Switch it off. That's step one. You can't go further if you don't do step one. Okay. You can put DVDs, whatever, but switch the TV. No mainstream medias. That's it. First. Then everything. Now you're going to maybe look alternative medias. And even there, you may find some messages that are fear inducing, such as, oh, there's going to be catastrophes, dramas on Earth, or some cosmic thing that are going to destroy everything. You need to get rescued. Oh, it's stressing, you know. No,
Yeah,
no, no.
yeah.
Anything that is meant to stress you and put you in a state of emotional dependency on following the news of this source, don't. The good ETs and our allies and the higher being and our galactic family, the messages they send us are messages to empower ourselves, not to take our power away to fear and give it to fear. So that's all the ways you need to cut from fear. And then that's done. Then you go within, in yourself. When you go within, there are many techniques of meditation. You need also to stop ingesting anything that lowers down your frequency. Alcohol is all right, but not too much, because it lowers the frequency and it removes your defenses, your shields. Flesh and blood is not great either, so try to not eat that. But then, you know, everyone is on a path, a diet. So you have meditation then. First, in this meditation, to go with at the encounter of yourself, just become aware of your own body, this avatar, this flesh body. Do a meditation with breathing, visualization, become really aware of your body and only that. And while you do that, you don't think about the outside world. You don't think about your problems. You're just here and now. And the journey is just starting. And once you're really aware to be this body, you go within it. Who inhabits it? You know, you go at the discovery of the light being that is in it. And that's you. That's real you, the internal intemporal being. It's you, interdimensional. That's you. And so then you go at the discovery of this being, what color it is, what shape it is, what species. You just look at the details and you're just tuning with it and discover as much as you can. It has a name. And while you do that, then you attune with the frequency of this being that is you, and that is higher than this avatar of flesh. And then you raise naturally your frequency, because you then are connected with your light being, which is of a higher frequency. And then when you're really connected with it, be you. And when you are you, then you are going to, suddenly it's a blast. You discover that you have an energy field, that you can move it, and even with your mind, you can move it with your mind. You can access knowledge, because when you are connected with your light being, you are connected with the whole universe. And you are connected also with your galactic siblings who are of the same frequency. And if you just do that every day, doesn't take long, I can assure you that you will stop being manipulated and you will reconnect with your power. And that's what I am advising everyone to try and to do. Don't try, yeah. Do.
shifting into creationary mind versus reactionary mind, because if you're watching all the mainstream media, even social media, you're always in reactionary mind. You're reacting to the latest thing that they're throwing at you. And so I think I think enlightenment means to be a knowledge of all of it, both sides, what's going down, but also turn to the higher side for solutions and you know, move, don't get into fear. You know, I like that saying, you know, are you going to be a warrior or a warrior, you know, which one? And even Mary was saying that, you know, like worry is a form of prayer. You know, the more you worry about something, the more you're going to manifest it or draw people to and events to you around what you're worrying about. So we have to shift out of that reactionary mind into the creationary mind, start creating our future, creating our tomorrow, you know. And when you, like you're saying, when you go within and know who you really are, you can move way beyond all this other nonsense they're throwing at us, you know. It's transcendent.
Yes. you have a new perspective and you just realize from where you are that you were thinking in the box and now you're out of the box.
Yeah.
So when you retune back into this world to just go to work or do what you need to do, you're different. You are different.
And I think one of the biggest things to transcend to spirits is death, you know, fear of death itself, and know you're an eternal being. And that's the biggie. That's the last frontier. And they've thrown so much stuff at me, and I don't see myself as a victim. I chose to be here for these times knowing that would happen. And, you know, been hit with every toxin and psychotronic and you name it, you know, had bullets shot at me and tire lug nuts taken off, brake lines cut, all that stuff. But you know, I'm still here. But the whole time when that was happening, I go, well, what's the worst case scenario? They kill me. I've already died twice. It's awesome. It was an awesome experience. Yeah,
that's it.
And
I know if
the worst thing they can do is release me from this body anyway, because I will find them. You know,
and you come back, and you come back. They can't kill us. We're coming back.
Yeah. So anyway. we have to lose that fear. You know, get rid of that fear, because that's how they're controlling us. You know, fear,
yes.
fear. You will die. You will die. Fear, fear. And you know, they. What's that Hegelian dialect? You know, they create the problem and then you react to it and then they give you the solution. Well, that's exactly what's going on right now. And we need to say, wait a second, let's forget about the solution and let's go back to where the problem started, who created the problem. And that's when you're going to end it. You know, you have to hold those people accountable. But so many people are so fearful. Well, what do I do? What do I do? You know, I got to get this. I got to get that. No, go take care of the origin. You know, track it back to where it started. Take care of that. You know, and then it won't keep coming around again and again and again. But like Einstein, you know, said, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, you know, expecting a solution is a form of insanity. And that's, we've been doing the same thing in circles. But I see it as a spiral. Yeah, it looks like we're going in circles, but it's a spiral. We're gaining wisdom each time we go around, and pretty soon we'll go, okay, been there, done that. I'm not going to go that direction anymore.
Yes, this is the cycles of life, of the seasons, of night and day. You go in circle, it's cycles, but every time you go back to the same points, you are higher. And you go like this, and you're in a higher point.
Spirals.
Yes.
I wanted to talk a little bit about creating sacred space and protection, because we talked on the last show about it, and we have a saying here: just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. And a lot of people in air have opened themselves to some of these lower forces, not knowing who they are or what their agendas are or what they've done. And maybe you can give us, I know you have a lot on your website about that, but it's real important to create sacred space and work with the higher dimensional beings and have them as some people call them guardian angels, a watcher, you know, they have different names for them, but it's really important to bring in, you know, the Christed masters or higher beings, whatever, to work with you to keep these other ones out, because they're waiting. They're waiting for a door. They're waiting for an opening. And they know us better than we know ourselves. And they know every little fear, every little wound, every little trauma. And they're going to play you. They're going to play your family, your lovers, everyone around you, you know, to get to you. So we got to get those chinks out of our armor. But we can't get in, you know, but I know you have a lot on your website, but maybe you can talk a little bit about creating sacred space and protection.
Yes, in my on my YouTube channel, I have the first playlist. You see it's featured videos. You go in it, you scroll, and you see five free workshops, how to protect yourself. So it's five different methods. So watch them and learn from it, because it's a different, very, very efficient methods, how to protect yourself. There's one, it's how to be invisible. It's necessary, you know, that before you do any type of, you attempt any type of contact. It's very important. Even when you do CE5, CE5 is great. It works wonders, but you need to be in a higher frequency. That's the same thing. If you raise your frequency before doing CE5, you will see higher frequency shifts and it will be wonderful. If you don't raise your frequency, you may see be deceived or see negative stuff anyway, but that's for everything. So at the moment, it's a battlefield. It is incredible, despicable. It is on many levels, the psychic levels as well. They're roaming around the place, and they have awakened the armies of darkness of Earth, the lower astral. The lower astral of Earth is the demons, the creepy crawly things, and they work together, and it's roaming all over the place. So, as much as I say, do not touch the Ouija board, do not do spiritism, because it is the same with channeling. Oh boy, don't, don't try it now. If you want to contact ETs, it will be only with those who are already naturally connected to you, your family, if you are an envoy, by what I showed, go within, etc., connect within. If you attempt to connect anything like I'm going to meditate and make myself available for receiving messages from whatever ET want to contact me, you open the door. And these dark entities, they are waiting for it. You consent, you give your consent, and they're going to hug you and play with you and know everything. They know everything about you at the moment they contact with your field, because you know you have your thoughts and your memories in your aura. They can read you, and they are going to play roles. So you think you connect with Ashtar or Jesus or whoever, but it's a little creepy, crawly reptilian or AI, you know?
Faker spirits, we call them.
Yeah. So be very careful. But then you will see, because if you become addicted to connect with them, they feed off your energy, life force. If the message are worrying, it's not good, you know. It needs always to be empowering messages, and message would tell you the power is within you. You don't need me, you know.
And also and also too, that flattery, you know, there's an old saying, there's three types of people that fall victim to flattery: men, women, and children. You know, so they use flattery a lot, and they'll tell you, you are the chosen one, or you are here to save the world. You know, the chosen ones are those who chose, and we're all special. There's no one special. And as you move up that vibrational continuum, you find out special doesn't even exist. Identity is gone too. So it's not that important. So just be really wary of that, because I have people all the time say, you know, I'm alpha something something here as the queen of, you know, and they have this big long lineage thing. And I go, oh, that's nice. I go, what are you doing now? You know, how's your life working for you now? And, you know, so, you know, it's all like, don't quit your day job. You know, find out your clue pattern of past life, you know, chop. But you know, but keep it grounded, and watch out for flattery, because they use fear and they use flattery both. They'll tell you, you need to listen to me, you need to know something bad is going to happen, and the reptilians are really good at that one. And then, or they'll use the demons do it too. But the flattery, you have to watch out for the faker spirits. They come in and they'll tell you, you know, that, you know, they'll use flattery.
Yeah, they tell you either that you are the reincarnation of that historical person, or the chosen one, or you are the unique emissary from whatever, you know.
You know, I hear people that all the time come up here, and they, you know, say they're the chosen one, they're Jesus and thing. I said, no, you're not. And they go, well, how do you know? I said, I'm Jesus. No, I'm just kidding. But the We have that a lot, and and I crack jokes about it. I say, yeah, Jesus and Buddha were some of my best students, and things like that. And people go, what? And I go, well, ultimately that's true because we're all God. We're all God. The one consciousness, we're all, everybody's Jesus, everybody's Mary. You can plug into the house of Mary, the house of Jesus, the house of Ezekiel. It doesn't matter, Michael. It's a house of consciousness that anybody can plug into and become one with that. And they kind of missed his teachings, especially the teachings of Jesus when he said, one of his prayers was, beloved Father, let them become one as we are one. And they were one in consciousness. And they missed that. And he kept saying, you are all gods, children of the Most High. Well, what happened when children grow up? When you grow up, what are you going to become? Do you stay a child all your life? It's like eventually when you awaken to that one consciousness within you that's encompasses all consciousness, you step into that. But can you see that? But the a little technical thing going on here. But the but anyway, no, that's all right. I just want to see the time. But the going back to that, there's is that every master teacher on the planet empowered people to make their own personal God connection. And they all did it. And that's the golden thread throughout. If they were real masters, I mean, there's a lot of posed as masters, in the past. But they always empowered you to make your own personal connection with Creator, Great Spirit, God, whatever you want to call it. And they never created an external worship of any kind. It was all internal. And I think that's the biggest kicker right now. That's how you discern what's right, is if they're empowering you to make your own personal connection with Creator, or if they're trying to hijack you from other external force. And technologically advanced off-worlders out there. I'm not saying don't talk to them, but if you are talking to them, make sure they're empowering you to make your, they're not a crutch. They're empowering you to make your personal connect with greater.
Yes.
Yeah, I go, what do you say after that? It's like, well, we just have
Breaking a little bit.
a short couple minutes left, but I want to just go into, I mean, last time we were talking about the future and what you see for the future for humanity and where things are going, this huge greater family reunion that's going on.
The future starts within, because the future I have been shown is a unified world unified in peace and federated. It's a federation of all the countries, and every country has kept their culture, individuality, and specificities. When you heal, you are going to be at peace with yourself, and when you are at peace with yourself, you stop being influenced. You stop responding to conflict, and you're going to radiate peace and be at peace with everyone else. And that is how the world of tomorrow will be. If you want a world in peace, start within by healing yourself and make peace with yourself. The world of tomorrow, as I've been showed, is a world with free energy, technology given back to us publicly, a world of peace, and we are working together with the Galactic Federation, and humanity goes forward, and it's a great future that I've been shown. Great future, and we own it. We own the timeline. We just need to secure it now. It's just last stretch, but it's good. It's good.
Awesome. Yeah, it's I just see a huge renaissance, an explosion of just incredible healing energies, frequency technologies, technology. I mean, it's beyond our wildest dreams, and it's here. It's on the planet now. It's just waiting to come out, but we have to have a channel for it. But But anyway, we've run out of time. An awesome show as usual. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. And what is the best way for people to get in contact with you?
I have a website, elenadanan.org, and a YouTube channel in my name. Plenty of goodies on it. Tuesday, 7th of September, I release my next book, We Will Never Let You Down, My Encounters with Valianthor, and a bit of history of the Galactic Federation. So that's
keep up the awesome work, and I'm sure we'll be continuing to work together, and I don't know what to say other than just keep doing what you're doing, and peace be with you, and safety be with you, and all the protection of all. I know you have that with you already. So, and anyway, have a great evening. And we've got to sign off, folks. Anyway, so this is James Gunnell with As You Wish Talk Radio and East City Stargate. Have a great evening. Keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent. That's all you need. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to connect with the greater family of man. Anyway, have a great evening. Good night. We'll be right back.